May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if when we're thinking about the two readings that we've heard, whether our theme could actually be not seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. I wonder how many of you would remember the names of the 12 disciples. Call them out if you remember any of them. Yep. Do you know anything about? Do you know anything about the ones that you've mentioned? For instance, Peter. What would you say about Peter? The rock. Yes. Sorry, Jenny. Yes, the denier. Yeah. Anyone else? Judas, maybe. What would you remember about Judas? What about Thomas? That is amazing, okay? Because the minute that I said the name Thomas, most of you responded. Seeing is believing, but we might be on about believing is seeing. This is one of my favourite readings, and I think that I seem to always say that whenever I have the opportunity to conduct the service, that it seems always to be one of my favourite readings. Maybe it's my favourite because it's got Thomas in it. If we listen carefully, you might have heard in the reading from John this morning the word peace, commission, doubt, blessing, and belief. I just want to recap for a minute. We're only just in April, halfway through April. It seemed as though we'd only just finished Christmas. And the week after Christmas, there was already hot cross buns in our supermarkets and in our bakeries. Sorry? And Easter eggs as well. Then suddenly we were travelling the journey through Lent, the regional Bible study, the meal on Maundy Thursday that was so special, the solemnness of Good Friday, and then last Sunday, the joy of Easter Day, the stone moved and the empty grave. And suddenly you get that feeling that we often experience after a great event, that it's all over. And we look to something else, Pentecost maybe. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, that when you've worked really hard for something or some event, be it a wedding or a birthday or even a funeral, that afterwards you experience this really feeling of both emptiness and it's all over. It's strange. I'll never forget a couple that I married. I certainly shared it at a wedding yesterday, that one of the couples came back to give me a photo, and he said to me, "Inika, it was just like you said, that all this planning that we had, maybe more than a year to plan for our wedding and all the celebration on the day, you said, take in every minute because it'll be over so quickly." And he said, "The wedding was over so quickly, but our marriage is only just beginning." We are so lucky because Easter is never over for us. That is why we're here on Sunday mornings. Easter continues our whole lifetime. Think about that. Easter began the community we now call the church. I shared with you at some other time that people have often asked me, in the world in which we live now and everything that they can do with DNA and more, and if they ever found Jesus's bones, how would you respond? And I said to them, it would change nothing, because I've experienced the resurrected Lord, and that's why I'm here. And I think that I invite you to think about why each one of you are here today. You know, I've been, a couple of years ago, I read a book that's called Quitting Church, and the reasons why people quit church, one of the main reasons was loneliness, and that people who were coming were no longer experiencing God. No longer experiencing God. May you, as you come here this morning, experience the resurrected Lord for yourselves. What would that mean for us? I wonder what the disciples were thinking about when they were locked up in that room. They were afraid of the leaders of the community, that they might too come and find them. And they were fearful about what might happen to them. That's why the doors were locked. And I wonder what the conversation might have been. I think that each one of us here this morning can relate to what it feels like the day after someone whom we love has died. And that's one of the reasons that we gather after a funeral service, to enjoy fellowship with one another so that we can share memories with each other. And I wonder if that was what they were doing. Maybe they were sitting and saying to each other, hey, remember the time that there were thousands of people and we said to him, what are we going to eat? And he says to us, you feed them. And we had a young boy that had, what, 5 fish and 2 loaves? And everybody was fed. Do you remember the time that we went to Simon's house and he raised his mother-in-law? Do you remember the time that he was so upset that his best friend Lazarus had died and he raised him back up? Do you remember the time that the blind man was healed? Do you remember the time that he touched the guy who had leprosy? Who would do that? And healed him. Might that not have been what they were doing in that room? And then suddenly, Jesus is among them. Right there, present. Right in their midst. And what does he do? He says to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then he breathed the Holy Spirit on them and gave them new life, just as God moved his Spirit over the waters in the creation story. Easter's not over, because just when you thought it was, the risen Christ appears, walks into a locked room, walks into a congregation at Endeavour Hills. That is such a statement, you know, as if locked rooms would stop the risen Christ. There was once a woman who was part of a discussion group many years ago. It was a gathering of people discussing all sorts of issues as well as a Bible study. And in due time, as in most discussion groups, someone mentioned the difficulty of believing the resurrection. And all of a sudden, a woman who was fairly quiet spoke up and said, well, I do. I believe in the resurrection. I've seen it and I've lived it. When my marriage broke up, I felt as though I had died. I felt as though my life was over, that I was traveling a dead end. But then, by the grace of God and the help of my friends, I came back to life. I came back. I got a whole new life after that. For me, that was a miracle. She says, I've seen it, and I believed it. Peace be with you. Jesus said these words three times in that reading. They were overjoyed that it wasn't all over. And then what happened? One of them was missing. Thomas. The one who had already said, when Jesus was trying to explain about his leaving, and Jesus said to them, you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas said, no, we don't. We don't know where you're going. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The same Thomas. Don't you hate it when you miss out on something? I do. Do you hate it when you miss out on something? So when they went back and said to Thomas, Jesus is alive, is it any wonder that he might have doubted that? He might have not been there because he was still in his own grief, trying to cope with the fact that the person he had lived with for 3 years had been crucified. And then Jesus appears again, same place. Locked, they were locked up. He appears to them. And Jesus comes to them, and he already knows what Thomas has said. That's interesting, isn't it? That Jesus already knew what Thomas had said about, I'll believe it when I see it. Isn't that what we say sometimes? I'll believe it when I see it. No rebuke. No, hey, you should have had enough faith to believe that I was alive. I told you all. I told you that I would raise on the third day. He didn't do that. He just showed his hands to Thomas. We don't even know if Thomas went over there and did what he said he was going to do. All we know is that Thomas said this, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, the first time that somebody had said that. Don't we sometimes have doubts? I do sometimes. Is this what Sundays are about? That we come in order so that we might continue to remember together? That we might celebrate all the things that God has done for us in his death and resurrection? In order that we might continue to be reassured in this place, in this building, here and now, that Jesus stands among us and then continues to breathe his Holy Spirit on us to empower each one of us, to release us from the confines of this room, to go out and to live the risen life. Peace, commission, doubts, blessing and belief. It says, well, this Jesus did many other things in their presence. It says we haven't written them down, all of them, but these experiences that we have, we have. What about our own experiences? When at a time have you really felt that God has been present with you? That you've actually felt the strength of his embrace, helping you through whatever you might be experiencing? I have. It seems that the post-COVID still wants to attack my nerve ends, so that when I woke up through the night, I had excruciating pain in my arm. I said to Tom, oh, I've got terrible pain in my arm, and I just asked God to help me. I've got a service in the morning, help me. And when I woke up this morning, I said to Tom, there's no pain in my arm. When has it been a time for you that you have felt that presence of the risen Lord, that you have been able to say, my Lord and my God? You know, the gift of faith is a gift, and we have been given that gift so that we might believe, so that through believing we might have life in his name. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. And blessed are those who believe and have seen. Thanks be to God. Amen.